Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everybody. It's Geraldo Rivera reporting. I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by cops, said LeBron James. Fair enough. An emotional statement from the heart. One that every American should listen to. But he was talking specifically about a situation in Columbus, Ohio, where a cop came upon a young black lady, a teenager, 16 years old, about to stab another black teenage girl. The cop, in a moment's notice, felt that he had no other choice but to shoot and kill the knife-wielding teenager, much to the dismay of everybody, certainly initially, and then they saw the videotape and came to understand that perhaps, or probably, the cop was right, defusing that situation. So LeBron James spoke, but did he speak too soon? Is that part of the problem that we face in our country? People with impressions, people who believe that cop killings are something that's relatively rare in our country. It is relatively rare. But did you know that almost 1,000 people every year are shot and killed by cops? And about 100 cops lose their lives every year. Those are raw, hard numbers that should frame a reality that perhaps President Biden can get his arms around. We certainly hope so. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
The segment I just did on Fox and Friends, which was quite extensive, talking about the police interaction with the community, focused on the 16-year-old girl who was shot dead by the cop, the knife-wielding girl shot dead by the cop. And then another incident, much less reported, in Cincinnati, the other corner of the state, where a 13-year-old girl, a black child, killed a classmate, another 13-year-old girl, knifed her to death. What the hell is going on? I believe that the biggest problem with blue-on-black stories, cops' violence on black people, as we've been hearing, or police using excessive force, is that not enough attention is being paid to the reason the cop was there in this situation in the first place. And it's because of black-on-black violence. We don't like to talk about it in the context of what's going on now and all the attention being paid to George Floyd's demise and his murder at the hands of the cop. But black-on-black violence is the much bigger story. It's the biggest civil rights issue of our day, I believe. And the media, particularly the liberals, and I hate to be a liberal conservative kind of person. I'm not. I'm a moderate. But I believe that there is an instinct to turn away from. We don't like reporting on situations like that 13-year-old girl killing the other 13-year-old girl because we throw our hands in the air and say, what the hell are we going to do about this? All right, so let's take that ride down the Fox and Friends path from today. Lawrence Jones was in for Steve Ducey, Ainsley Earhart, and Brian Kilmeade, our old friends, were present for Here is Fox and Friends.
Part of the problem that it becomes a binary choice. When the state abuses its power, we should investigate that, get the facts, and prosecute it. That's what we did in George Floyd. But there has to be accountability as well when we're killing ourselves in our own community. It seems to me that this has become a partisan issue. Either you stand with cops or you stand with the community. There has to be a conversation about us standing together as Americans, getting it right on all of these shootings. A life lost is a life too many.
I saw this in the O.J. Simpson trial, where people pick sides depending on the race of the participant. They were rooting for Simpson's acquittal or they were rooting for his conviction. It became a surrogate for black people and white people, and it was terrible to see the racial division, as bizarre as it was. I think right now we need
These, when I called for a national registry of all police encounters, this should be mandatory. Give us a platform where we know what we're talking about, where we can say, for instance, earlier this week in Cincinnati, I heard one of your guests reference this. A 13-year-old child, a girl, black girl, killed another 13-year-old black girl, a classmate of hers, over some beef they had. It was a 13-year-old in Cincinnati, Ohio, or just outside Cincinnati, killing another 13-year-old. I mean, this is horrifying. The violence is
horrifying.
But how does that happen? The body count is
horrifying. Nobody wants to get to the root causes of how that happens. Just like in this shooting that just happened, no one wants to say, what happened in that foster home? How are these kids going at it? Why are the adults standing around? Look, I've talked about my experience with cops, bad experience and good experiences. But in this case, no one doesn't seem to be interested just a little bit in what went wrong with that child.
It just seems to me, Lawrence, and I appreciate the relevance of your background and your personal experiences. I think you bring credibility to our reporting, and we're delighted, and I'm proud to see you up there as one of the hosts on the program today. We have to have a situation where the overall picture of crime in this country and violence in this country and where cops fit into that and what policing is all about. And as we mock the left who says a social worker should be there, I'm telling you, all of my cop friends say the worst thing they have to do is domestic violence situations, of which I believe the 16-year-old girl knifing the other girl, that was a household drama that spilled into the streets and became deadly. And how children can be wielding knives against other children, that is a story I think we have to appreciate. We have to understand, how in the world does a kid go to settle a beef with deadly force, with no real recognition that if that knife strikes, the child in pink is a bloody mess? We have to, and the fact that more and more police are mandated to wear body cams, that's good. The fact that more and more surveillance cameras are on the street corners of America, that is also good. But at some point, and Lawrence, this speaks to your point, we have to deal with this disruption, this anarchy, and
it's a local matter. People keep trying to nationalize this, Geraldo. People keep trying to nationalize this debate. National legislation cannot bring peace. These are local communities. If they have issues with the police, it has to be handled locally. If they want health and safety in these communities, it has to happen locally. There is such a push. I'm so tired of hearing it. National conversation. That's not how you get this done. Geraldo, you were a local reporter for years. You traveled all across the country for years. That's where it starts.
I agree. You have to see what's going on. But why not my idea of this national registry, where it is mandated that every law enforcement agency in the country report every single incident where a police has used deadly force, so there is a uniform? I understand we don't like federal, we don't like big picture, but this is a situation where we can get the facts. No BS. It says right here, this is how many police encounters there were, this is how many shots were fired, this is how many people died, this is the circumstance. Was the cop charged or not? I think that has to be uniform. I think that we need a registry. It has to be mandated. We shouldn't need a newspaper digging through reports in this agency and this law enforcement agency, this sheriff, this policeman, to find out what the hell the reality is. It's too easy for people who come up on the program and they passionately spill their guts. It's too easy to exaggerate one way or the other.
The whole situation, to both of your points, is very sad because this little girl grew up in foster care, which breaks all of our hearts if we have kids. Her mom wanted to get her back. I was reading this morning and was trying to clean up her life. No telling what that girl has seen. But then you don't respond to that with violence, and we do need to get to the root problems of what's happening in these homes. I don't know if it's a breakdown of family, if it's a breakdown of faith. These kids need to be in synagogues and churches and wherever their faith is to let them know they're loved.
I agree.
And we all do love them. We love the cops. We love the anyone who is in a situation. We love Americans. We love everybody.
Absolutely.
Right. And there's countless, his point was earlier, there's countless interactions with police. There's absolutely no news to be made. Arrests are made. Over 10 million, let alone people just stopping asking for directions. That is not even counted. So there's over 10 million, and you're pointing out, a couple of dozen interactions, and people are writing me like crazy. No one knows where you got that number from, Geraldo. 970 African American people been shot by cops this year?
No, not 990 from the Washington Post. 991 dead in a single year. That's white, black, Latino, everybody.
From cops?
And according to the Washington Post, by cops. About 100 cops get killed, about 1,000 civilians get killed every year. That is the statistic that I have studied. That's what the Washington Post has reported. Now, of the 1,000 who are killed, most are white, but per capita, more black people are killed by cops in their encounters than white people per capita. Brian, I'm telling you, we have to know what we're talking about before we go much further. We need this national registry. We need to mandate every police agency in the country report on a standard federal form. You got feds moving into Minneapolis. They're going to move into the police department there.
But police force, law enforcement might not be perfect, but they're not the problem. They're not the main problem. Plaguing minority communities are not police.
There is a ghetto civil war. Read my lips. There is a ghetto civil war going on in our country today, whether it's driven by fights over drug turf or these other beefs or whatever the beef may be. There is a plethora of black people killing other black people, creating a situation of great peril. I think that we have to address that is the civil rights issue of our time. We're afraid to deal with it. We try to avoid it. And we only get interested when a cop is involved, when the black person gets killed. We have to be interested, as we should be in that case near Cincinnati with the two 13-year-olds. A 13-year-old has been killed.
That's called balance.
We study that case.
Yeah.
A 13-year-old killing another 13-year-old for a beep from their junior high. We cannot abide a civilization where that happens.
All right, Geraldo, thanks so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Geraldo.
I want to recheck that statistic. But I remember very clearly 991 dead in a year from police encounters, the majority white. But the percentage, since black people only are 15-16% of the total population per capita, more blacks are killed, more Latinos are killed. But the majority of people killed by cops in their encounters are white. But there should be, in my dream recording form, every incident of violence where a cop is involved, you want to know everything about the victim. The race of the victim, the age of the victim, sex of the victim, everything should be spelled out so we know exactly what the issue is, the extent of the issue is. All right, let me take a break. What are you thinking about in terms of LeBron James? Did he do the right thing in criticizing the cop? Did he jump too fast, too high too fast to get the story out there and his feelings out there? Should he have been more responsible? What do you think? Erica will be joining us shortly. So, Rob, did you check my figures? Did you do a little research? Am I right about the number of people shot and killed by cops?
Yeah, because actually I was looking it up as you were talking on Fox earlier today. Yeah, your numbers are right. I mean, everything that you were talking about in that Post article looks like it's dead on. So, they said just under 1,000 shootings. So your 970 number, that fits. 983 works out pretty well. And 983 is in the headline.
In the headline in the Washington Post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just people don't. It's like you're going to believe me or your lying eyes. I mean, it's so. Just look around. Understand what's going on. Understand when someone from the police union or wherever it is makes a statement. I've seen so many statistics don't lie, but what is it? Figures don't lie, but liars figure. People can distort and make up statistics. Listen, when I tell you something, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart. what it is. But what are we going to do about cops? What are we going to do about the community tensions? What are we going to do about these lost kids? What are we going to do with racial imbalance? So many things to talk about. Carolyn Willoughby, thank you for calling 216-578-1100. Now it's your turn, folks. What's on your mind when it comes to cops and violence? Hi, Carol. Thank you.
We're of similar age, Geraldo. And this is...
You sound a lot younger.
Thank you. We live in a sick society. When I was in college, I remember reading Crisis in Black and White and The Other America, and things have not changed in 50 years. And I think part of the problem that we face now is that we used to be described as the great melting pot. Then we were described as a pluralistic society, and now we are described as a diverse society. And I think we have lost what has made us a great nation, and that is that we were all able to come together and work together. I know slavery was a terrible thing, and I think personally one of the worst things that occurred was that slavery destroyed the Black family.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And that is something that continues today, and it's not just in Blacks. It's in whites as well. The family unit.
So how do you fix it, Carol? Do you ever ponder what you would do if you were in charge?
Yes. I am a Christian, and many faiths have the same outlook, but the greatest rules in Christianity, or the greatest philosophy, is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And we need to getting back to love your neighbor as yourself. Teachers are not allowed to teach morality anymore. You know, if your son goes to school today as your son and wants to be your daughter tomorrow, that's okay. That's fine. You know, if you have, I remember teachers used to complain on their record cards that they had to change the names of the guardians of the kids so many times on their permanent record cards because there was a new uncle every month or a new dad every month.
I think it's definitely a problem. I think we've gone far enough down that road. I believe, Carol, that you speak the truth and you're a very, very sincere person. But, you know, we can't grapple. You never see any protests or any demonstrations, you know, to bring back the core family, bring dad home. I think the proliferation of prisons and the incarceration of so many minorities for so long for crimes that could perhaps be dealt with in another way. I'm not soft on crime in any regard, but I think that drugs should be legalized, basically, or certainly decriminalized. So much of police work has to do, so much of those no-knock warrants have to do ultimately with a drug case somewhere involved. I think that is a good route. I don't think no-knock warrants are appropriate anymore unless you're going after a terrorist. If you're not going after a terrorist, look what happened with Breonna Taylor, the poor lady in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, it just adds to this. It fuels this tension that separates the police from the community that they seek to serve. I think that when you see a cop car in your, you know, coming down your street, you should like say, ah, good, a sigh of relief. Not, oh my God, is he going to stop here and find I've got a joint in my sock? I think that too much of the relationship between the police and the community that they're serving has eroded. Maybe it's race, that's part of it, and maybe it's family, that's part of it. But I do believe, and I think that we're going to try to do it on this program, use this program as a vehicle and put civilians in touch with cops and maybe have a, you know, a conversation starting next week, I hope, where we put some of these things in perspective. Okay, what's Tom in Twinsburg think? Tom, thank you for calling 216-578.
Hey, good morning, what's Geraldo. On your mind? How are you?
Good morning.
How are you, Geraldo?
I'm holding up. So how you doing?
Very good, thank you. You know, okay, what I don't understand anymore is, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't really do anything bad. But if we did do something kind of out of the ordinary and we heard sirens coming, the police sirens, like a street or two away, we would stop and stop whatever we were doing. And I don't understand why, like with this situation in Columbus, why when the police sirens come blaring down the street, the whole situation didn't de-escalate some. This girl looked like she was going to stab this girl no matter what happened. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I wondered the same thing. Why isn't there any feeling? Look at all they were adults in the video that you could see. Bystanders were all over. It was like the whole block came out and watched this violent drama act out. And then the cop comes, and you know, I hear a lot of people. You know, it's a bitter thing when you're experienced with firearms. I've been around firearms my whole reporting life, over 50 years. People say when a cop comes to a scene, let me just say that, make this one point, Tom.
Okay.
When a cop comes to the scene, they say, why doesn't the cop shoot him in the arm or shoot him in the leg? You know, that's just not, that doesn't happen. It only happens in the movies. In real life, the cops shoot for the mass of the body, and that's generally speaking a fatal shot. Go ahead, Tom, final word.
Well, and especially with the situation nowadays, I would think these people, and I'm not saying cops are bad, but with what's happening with so many shootings, you would think, I don't want to get shot. I'm going to drop the knife right away and obey what the policeman says.
I think that is the absolute bottom line. Listen to the cop. Don't argue your civil rights case on the street with the cop. The cop says, turn around, you turn around. Cop says, get in the vehicle, you get in the vehicle. That way you live to sue the cop if you want to. You certainly live to see another day. You know, honey, it's funny that people get to hear, you know, our intimate conversations. Like, this is what we talk about when I'm away on the cell. Oh, I miss you, honey. I miss you, honey. But I do miss you, honey. So what are you thinking about with all the...
I miss you, too.
All of this...
I miss you, too.
Thank you. See you in 24 hours. You know, so much going on. I'm losing my voice. I hate to lose my voice before my Hollywood debut. But so what do you think about cops and the interaction with the community as Ricky or Lucy goes wild in the background?
So, I know. Oh my God.
So do you worry? I mean, now Sol's about to get her driver's license. You worry about her driving around. What, you know, what's out there? What do you think about, honey?
I mean, to go back to like what happened with Micaiah Bryant,
the 16-year-old in Columbus, yeah,
the 16-year-old in Columbus getting shot three or four times while lunging at two people. I mean, I think that the police need to be able to protect other people and protect themselves. But the frustration for me is that if this had happened in a white neighborhood, would a cop have shot a girl four times? And
well, that's a good question. That's a good question. And hear her, ladies and gentlemen, if the same situation had happened in Shaker Heights and a cop had come upon, you know, ruly white people, and there's plenty, there's just as many ruly white people as there are black people, would the cop in that situation, what do you think would have happened, Erica?
I don't think it would have happened. I don't think a cop would have shot a white 16-year-old girl four times to prevent her from lunging at two other girls. I don't think it would have happened.
You don't think so? What would the cop have done?
No, and I think that's why I can understand. I have empathy for LeBron James tweeting that. I mean, I think he tweeted too soon yesterday, and that's why he deleted his tweet. But it's been an emotional week, and there have been a lot of loss of black lives. And there's a lot of mistrust and anger and pain. And I think that So yeah, but if it happened in a white neighborhood, I don't think it would have happened.
Well, let me bring Rob in for a second. He got a call from a cop who's doing something that I think is very relevant to this conversation. Tell us about it, Rob.
Yeah, we got a call off air. He did not want to go on air and talk to you, at least quite yet, but Jerome in Worcester is a police trainer, and down in that neck of the woods, they have the simulation, you know, that, hey, you know, the obstacle course, the kind of, deal you run through the train in those kind of situations, those, bang, bang calls in life and in those situations. And he offered
to Tamir Rice.
Yes,
like
Tamir
Adam,
Rice.
Toledo.
Yes, like all the ones that we're hearing, basically, at least the majority of the ones that we're hearing. And he
so
actually,
they have a simulation, so you go in and...
Yeah, and you run the gauntlet or, do what you do. And he actually offered Geraldo in Cleveland, he talked to our program director, Ray Davis, if we want to go down and take that thing for a spin, I think we're have an inn down in the in Worcester area to train officers.
I would like to do that. But going back, Erica, going back to everything you've seen unfolding in the last week, first of all, in terms of, I haven't asked you about the conviction of Derek Chauvin of murder. And do you feel that there's finally justice for George Floyd? Do you worry that the cop was overcharged, that he was, what he did was horrifying, but was it really murder or was it manslaughter? I mean, what do you think about basically
a sense
of relief?
I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. Was it
relief or frustration or what?
Well, finally, relief that something is happening, that there's accountability, and there needs to be accountability not just for Chauvin, but also for the other police officers. And I think that'll be interesting to see what happens with the other officers, because I think police, there has to be more accountability training where police have to feel like they can count on each other for each other's safety, but also feel comfortable holding each other accountable.
Well, they did. They certainly did in the Chauvin case. There were plenty of cops who were testifying against him. There was no blue wall of silence in the Chauvin case. And I think maybe it'll add to some. But, I mean, going back to our own teenager.
I mean, the fact that we saw a murder in front of all of our eyes, the 9 minutes. And 29-second video.
But I'm going back. I get that.
If there would be a guilty verdict, it tells you everything.
That's also true. The fact that we didn't know for sure it was going to be a slam dunk. We thought we were so worried because we've seen so many. I was with Benjamin Crump, the attorney, as the Trayvon Martin verdict came in. Remember the kid that started it all? Very baby-faced kid out shopping, wearing the hoodie. In near the Orlando, Florida area, he gets shot by the local security guard, who's not even a cop. After they grapple, and then the cop was acquitted. George Zimmerman, the security guard, was acquitted in the death of Trayvon Martin. That was heartbreaking to Benjamin Crump. The family also of Trayvon Martin was there. Some of them, as we awaited that verdict that came in late. But there's so much tension. I need civil rights icons like Al Sharpton, or now like Benjamin Crump, or certainly like LeBron James, to
I love that
be
LeBron
part of,
James is speaking out on social
me too.
Issues.
Me too. I think he's the second. I say
he's not
the
just
second
a sports
most
player. He's a multi-dimensional human being who cares enough about his community to speak out, and sometimes at great risk to himself.
I agree with that, and one of the reasons he was motivated to speak out is that he comes from Akron. The Columbus knifing, the cop shooting, was just a few miles away. I mean, he's very interested and very involved, and I feel very affirmative about LeBron James. I like him very much, and I like his social activism. And I even like the fact that he's got, the whole NBA, the whole league, supporting him, or professional athletes generally. I just think they have to broaden their area of concern so it's not just violence by cops against black people, that it's violence, period. There's anarchy. I mean, out here, honey, you should see it out here. It's so different than when we lived here. And we lived here. I had a house out here for over 30 years, obviously part-time. But there are homeless RVs nose to tail along the Pacific Coast Highway every night. Every night. They're not vacationers. They're people who, they're like the nomad people, Erica, that you were seeing in your that movie you like so much that I wore out on. But it's true.
And
under every overpass in LA now, there's a homeless encampment.
Who can afford to live in LA now?
Well, you know, I don't know what's going on, but you know, it was always pricey, relatively speaking. When I got here the first time in 1963, I had $27 in my pocket. You know, but I didn't see what I see now: park encampments, RVs everywhere, under every freeway. Skid Row is now a giant neighborhood. It used to be a little picturesque tourist attraction. Now it's a whole big slum. You know, it's a lot different. I think that Joe Biden, you know, love him to death. He's got a lot to do, and he's got to see the reality that's out here rather than the dreamy picture that he paints in his own head. But any further thoughts, honey, before the weekend?
Well, I think that President Biden sees the reality. I think he wants to help poor people and help the situation. So I don't agree with what you just said, but I do
okay.
hope
well,
that
I think that I want everyone to have a job in this country, and I want them to work. You know, and I think I deplore also going back to what I think was Carol said earlier. The whole faith-based family is just where is it when we really need it? Before I say goodbye, I just want everyone again to remember the picture in your mind of two 13-year-old girls in a knife fight in a town outside Cincinnati. And one of them kills the other, kills her, schoolmate, over some beef they had in their class. How sick is that? We've got to fix that. We've got to pay attention to what's going on. I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun: Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.